listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, the birthday boy with you here for one more hour. And we're going to the Ohio Business Machines hotline, and we're bringing in one of our favorite guests. You remember when we talked about Sean McDermott, gave a strong endorsement. Well, now Sean McDermott coaching in the Super Bowl, and we're joined by Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers, live in California. Mick, how's it going out there in the Bay Area?
Well, I'm 0 for 2, being on your show recommending coaches.
This is a little bit better. It's Super Bowl. Let's go.
Yeah, I think I'm the kiss of death to these coaches, but I think you guys hired well. I'm not worried about the Browns, and I'm sure Browns fans are excited, but Sean McDermott is a cut above, and you guys just follow his career and see how he does, because I think he'll be one of the branches of the Ron Rivera coaching tree that will bear fruit.
Yeah.
And I'm talking to you now from San Jose. I didn't realize San Jose is the 10th largest city in the United States by population.
Yep.
The third largest in Cali. And we're so close to the Silicon Valley out here, you can just about feel it.
Absolutely. I grew up in the Bay Area, so very familiar with it. And obviously an exciting week for your Carolina Panthers. Let's go back to that NFC Championship game. Just an unbelievably dominant performance in that game against the Arizona Cardinals. How confident is this team coming out of that game?
I think confident, but one of the most interesting tributaries that feeds this river here at Super Bowl 50 is, where is the Panther mad on going to come from now? Because all season long, like we talked about last time I was on your show, the Panthers have felt disrespected the entire season long. But now the Panthers are a slight favorite. So Coach Rivera is going to have to come up with some kind of an angle. And one of the things may be, I just don't know. Thomas Davis could be a motivating factor, and I think has been, with the incredible toughness and resolve that he has shown, telling everybody who cares to listen that he's playing in this game despite a broken forearm.
I think what's very special about this Carolina Panthers team, as we've said before, you've talked about Sean McDermott, Coach Shula, Ron Rivera, you know, being retained in the face of adversity early in the season, and then all of their draft picks kind of hitting in the same year. What's the window for this Cam Newton, Ron Rivera-led team to get back to multiple Super Bowls in the next 3 to 4 years, both the coaching nucleus and the core of this football team as well?
See, now you got us in multiple Super Bowls. just a few months ago, we were an underdog going to Dallas. We were 10-0. Dallas was 3-7, and we were a point-and-a-half underdog because the great Tony Romo was going to strike fear into everybody's hearts on the Panther defense. But I hear what you're saying, Matt. I think it's a good question, to the degree that the window in the NFL only stays open for a few years,
right,
unless you're Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and you dance divinely for a decade and a half. But this is a built-to-last-for-a-while kind of a foundation, with Dave Gettleman working his plan, with Ron Rivera having the gift of humility as well as being a defensive savant. Sean McDermott and Mike Shula, the two coordinators, look like they're going to be back. Our coaching staff, I thought the band's going to get broken up. There's no way this coaching staff will look at all next year like it does this year, but that may not actually be the case. Cam Newton and Luke Kuechly, some of the personality players on this team, are at the height of their powers. So we could be a handful moving forward.
No question. Talking to Mick Mixon, the voice of the Carolina Panthers. And now that you're there, what is the vibe in the Bay Area just about this game? Because it seems like, you talked about Carolina being disrespected all year, it seems like people really aren't given a whole lot of a chance to the Peyton Manning and the Denver Broncos in this game.
Yeah, we got to change that. I mean, cue up the Yanni soundtrack and John Tesh, and here we go with Peyton Manning, Olin Mill photography on the scene to take pictures of his transition from this great career to back maybe to the address and retirement. So the Panthers have to make sure this game has their full attention. Denver could easily win the game. That would be the biggest thing for the Carolina Panthers, would be to get overconfident, go into the game with sprained shoulders from patting ourselves on the back, and think we're going to have an easy time. So the vibe out here is just crazy, just off the chain, wild. I was sad to be a human being last night at the media night, seeing all these reporters dehumanizing themselves, dressed in this crazy garb. And
yes.
When did this train leave the station? When did the canons of journalism, when did it change from reporters reporting the story to reporters trying to be the story?
It is certainly an interesting festivity and gathering there at Media Day. We'll say that. One guy obviously at the center of that, Cam Newton, who I don't understand it personally. You're much closer to it, but he seems to get a lot of criticism for playing the game at a high level and enjoying doing so in a very violent game where it can be taken away from you in one play. I love what Cam Newton does on the field. I think that he's been, in terms of just the way that he conducts himself and the way that he plays, why do you think there's been so much backlash to Cam Newton?
Oh, I don't know. Unless it's just normal, unless it's the normal backlash, I think Cam Newton probably is polarizing. I grew up in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. That's my hometown, and I went to school at UNC and worked for years on the Tar Heel Sports Network covering Carolina basketball. And J.J. Redick was polarizing.
Yep.
Steve Wojciechowski, Mike Krzyzewski, Christian Laettner, Grant Hill, they were all polarizing. And the line of polarization was, are they on your team or not?
Yep.
So what greater – people hated J.J. Redick. Why? Because he was unbelievably good, just overwhelming physical skill. Pulse rate zero when he's at the foul line, three-point marksman. Why wouldn't he be polarized? Cam Newton's polarizing, I think, in many of the same kind of ways, but there may be more to it than that. Why could Brett Favre do what he did and play with the effervescent joy? And he's, oh boy, he's our guy. Brett, you go, man. You got that childlike enthusiasm for the game. Whereas Cam Newton does a few similar things, puts his own style on it, of course, but now Cam Newton is somehow just getting letters to the editor and people wanting to ban him from stadiums. It's crazy.
Yeah, Mick, another polarizing fact about this football game, and for me as a former defensive guy, is both of these defenses. Is it safe to say that whichever defense can force turnovers and play their best football game against the other quarterback is most likely going to win this football game?
I think it is, Matt. From a Panther standpoint, I think this game in a crucible is a pass rush game. I think if the Panther four-man pressures can get home, and by that I mean, I don't mean sacks and sack fumbles and turnovers would be great, but I mean affect the pocket. Make Peyton Manning, make his feet get a little choppy. Make him have to get rid of the ball a half a beat too soon. Make him have to at least glance at the black Panther jerseys and not keep an eye on his own route tree. And then if that can happen, now Sean McDermott will be able to dial up some blitzes, bring additional pass rushers from here, there, and everywhere. And I think the Panthers have a great shot to win. Conversely, this is going to be a fantastic matchup between Denver's 3-4. They're not like Arizona's 3-4. They may be closer to maybe Green Bay and maybe Seattle in terms of where they line up and how they move into different
gaps. Exotic looks, yes.
Exactly. And they're all twitchy. It's not just a Michael Bennett, say, with Seattle, or it's not just a DeMarcus Ware with Denver. They can all rush the passer, and they're all athletic. So, but the Panthers, don't you think, Matt, the Panthers' interior three, Ryan Khalil, Andrew Norwell, Trey Turner. I mean, I think it's one of the best center guard trios in the NFL. How do you see it?
I agree, and I think that you know, a lot like Seattle, you know, to be able to rush four or have those three be so efficient inside and force Peyton Manning off his spot. We already know he's lost a little bit of accuracy, but if he can get off his spot and have to move around, it's going to be a tough day for him to find, you know, his great wide receivers being covered up by very good corners from the Panther standpoint as well.
Well, I think you're right on it, and I think that both defenses are so good that I don't think this is going to be 36-27 kind of game. So two dozen points, 27 points may have a great shot to win it. I don't think either team's going to be ringing up the cash register against the other team, but I also think I think that the receiving core, I don't think Denver's O-line is great, but Peyton Manning helps them by what he's able to do. I think another thing to watch for this game is which receiving core can catch the ball cleanly. Both groups have had some issues with this.
Yes, they have had some issues. Dropping the ball, talking with Mick Mixon, the play-by-play voice of the Carolina Panthers. Mick, how important has it been for this playoff run getting Jonathan Stewart back? It just seemed the way that he came out and set the tone immediately against Seattle was really important to their success.
Oh, he means everything. He's that dual-axle that F-250, F-350 house puller that sets everything else up. And the Panthers can get him off and get him running well, then I think Denver's going to be in a bad way. But of course, their defensive planning will probably begin with making sure that the 28 is bracketed and is tackled. I think Mike Shula, we talk about, I'm not trying to type up the resumes of our coordinators or anything, but I just have to mention to your question, Mike Shula's been a brilliant play caller all season long. He's had a really nifty way of hitting defenses where they don't want to be hit.
Yeah, and when you talk about that and taking advantage of the mismatches, that's going to be a great chess match between he and the son of bum, Wade Phillips. I want you to know, everybody knows the stars in this game. Who's somebody that you think is going to be critical to the outcome of this game that might not be the name level of a Cam Newton or a Luke Kuechly or Josh Norman that everybody knows about? Who's somebody that you have your eye on that think is going to be a pivotal player for Carolina to get the W?
I think that non-Josh Norman corner, whether that's Robert McClain or Cortland Finnegan, I think whoever that is going to have to play well, because Denver, you don't have to be Amos Alonzo Stagg to figure out Denver's probably going to want to go that side of the field as much as they can.
Mick, we appreciate the time. Best of luck on Sunday. Enjoy my hometown, and it should be a lot of fun out there, as it always is, with all the hype and the parties and the hoopla for Super Bowl weekend. Hope you get to call a big-time victory, a Super Bowl victory for your Carolina Panthers.
Well, you guys are first class. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate it. And Nathan, Matt, you guys come see us if you can.
We'll certainly, thank hopefully, you. Yeah. We had a great time back. I had a great time on that road trip in Charlotte last year, the Queen City. When we come back, we're going to open up the phone lines again. I'll reread the statement from Sashi Brown, the Executive Vice President of Football Operations, regarding Johnny Manziel. It seems like his time here is over. March 9th, the date that the Browns will be able to make a roster move with Johnny Manziel, if that is indeed what they choose to do. We want your reaction. 216-578-0850. Segura, birthday boy, Matt Wilhelm. Cleveland Browns Daily, ESPN 850, WKNR.
Well, my general reaction would be disappointment. You know, as I've said many a times, I would like for the Cleveland Browns players to conduct themselves in a manner that represents the organization well. And so, obviously, that reflected differently on what we want to have happen. And, you know, obviously it's a process that we're going through, and we'll continue to go through it.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That's the Browns head coach, Hugh Jackson, there. As we welcome you back to Cleveland Browns Daily, Nathan Segura, the birthday boy, Matt Wilhelm. Matt, when you are a team, were you guys favored in that Super Bowl over Pittsburgh?
I don't believe so. I'd have to go
it
back
had to
and
be
look.
Close.
It had to be close because we were running super hot.
Yeah.
Super hot. I think
but
we won seven of our last eight.
You had been an underdog, though.
We were underdog at Philly. We were definitely an underdog at Atlanta, and I think we were underdog against the 13-3 Chicago Bears at Chicago.
Yeah.
So, but winning those three the way we did and the fashion we did, probably went in that Super Bowl very close. Maybe
it's going to be tough, though, for a team that felt like it didn't get respect all year to then be a six-point favorite in the Super Bowl. You can't really – it's hard to say that we're not getting any respect at that point.
Yeah, that was a little stretch to me because he goes, he's, you guys. I'm like, no, man, I've been on the Ron Rivera riverboat Ron train, dabbing with Cam since week six.
That's right.
What's he talking about?
Riverboat Ron. Well, obviously, that is where the Browns want to get, and I think that they feel, as Mary Kay Cabot tweets out right now, source close to Browns' Johnny Manziel this season, quote, he's a train wreck.
Yeah, and ironically, listening to the Really Big Show with Riz on the way in, he talked about another source that he touches base with here and there, talked about that the friends of Johnny Manziel, or someone in his close inner circle, maybe not best friend, but that Johnny has changed, that Johnny is unreachable, and that Johnny is not really, he's kind of gone rogue in some people's eyes. So it's very shocking to me. And Nathan, we do in fact have a call. Let's go to Stan in Brooklyn. What's up, Stan?
Oh, hello. today?
Good.
That's good. Matt, happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
You enjoy your day. Anyways, I really don't have too much to say about Johnny Manziel. It'll all work out, hopefully, for him in the future. And I wish him well. I just can't believe some of the remarks that Hiram, who's been, I don't know, I guess he's hibernating like a groundhog. He used to call Sports Talk 25 years ago, if I do believe. But
he's still in the mix.
Yeah, I know that. I can't side with him on his point of view on a lot of things. I just can't. You know, there was a coach that I listened to the other station after the Browns games on Monday.
Uh-huh.
And there's an Italian coach out there. He's in his early 80s. And it's the only station I listen to for that segment. Everything. You guys are the Giants. You're the greatest. But Sam Ortigliano said 2.5 months ago, Johnny Manziel does not care about football. And that kind of sunk in, because if anybody knows what they're talking about, it's Sam.
Well, yeah, and I think you see it in the way that he conducts himself. Unfortunately, that football isn't the top priority, and that's okay. You know, it doesn't. You know, he's saying he has to play football, but when he's here, you want to see him do well, and unfortunately, he hasn't been able to do that.
Yeah, I'm personally.
You're happy
if I see Sashi Brown. High five coming at you, bro. Thank you for the birthday gift. But it's Johnny Manziel's irrelevant to me. And I said that all season long. When he's not your starter and he's riding the pine, holding the clipboard with his earpiece in, he's not helping me win a football game. And at 2-6 in his 8 starts, didn't help me win a lot of football games. And now I know that Josh McCown didn't, okay? But I'm over the hype, okay? Yep. To me, it's clear he's not a franchise quarterback. You put weapons around him, okay, on the football field, you might win some football games, okay? But who he is outside this building also does not make him is not what he should be doing as a franchise quarterback. It's right. Not. It's plain and simple. You don't get to walk out of this building and do whatever you want. Cam Newton, he's speaking his mind as a Super Bowl contending quarterback, and people have an issue with that. Okay. Imagine if Cam Newton were doing the things that Johnny Manziel were doing as an African-American quarterback in the National Football League and then contending for a Super Bowl. What type of media day would Cam Newton have had?
It's certainly
different.
A heck of a lot different. Yeah, absolutely. Gibbs.
1-1,000.
Gibbs is always there, and then whenever we want to talk to him, I feel like we never get a chance to talk to him. I want to see what Gibbs thinks about this because, you know, it is – I wouldn't say it's a polarizing
move. I got
to
see it.
I think it's just – I think it's almost – some people think it's probably too late, but these guys have only
All right, what did you guys want?
Just your thoughts on Sashi's statement.
I love it. It's like Christmas, man. It took 3 years for someone to get 5 sentences out that would finally make sense about this moron.
Yeah.
Couldn't be happier.
Couldn't be. So you – you approve of the way that it's been handled now?
Playtime's over, dude.
Yeah.
I hope you enjoyed screwing off for 2 years. You got some problems. Only you can want to fix those.
Do you believe he is going to end up somewhere else?
Yeah. I will. I do. Someone's going to give him a chance.
Interesting.
I don't know who. I don't necessarily think it's Dallas. Could be someone we totally didn't see coming.
And, you know, and like I said, though, when you put it behind you, the one thing that I don't want to hear on this show is, well, did you see what Johnny did this weekend? You know, while we potentially draft the future of our franchise for the next 5 years at number 2 overall, right? We're going to follow Johnny Manziel in a different color uniform and actually care what he does. Because for me, I'm going to be laughing. I'm going to be laughing because the odds are good that he's going to make – I'm going to be laughing at what he does off the field more than I congratulate what he does on the field, because it's about the equivalent to what he's done thus far in Cleveland.
Yeah, not a whole heck of a lot. 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. So I know that this was high on your birthday wish list, and you got it. What was – as a man who has everything as you do, Matt Wilhelm, what was big on your birthday wish list this year?
You know, my birthday wish list was, and my wife kind of created the day for me. I woke up, took my kids to school, and
on your birthday,
on my birthday, I just, you know, it's norm. I know 35, it's my college number, you know, so that was kind of special. So I enjoyed 34, which was my high school number last year. 35. I'm an odd numbered guy because I wore 57.
It's gonna take a while
so,
for
it's
you
gonna
to
take
get,
a while.
Yeah,
yes,
take
it
a
is.
While to get your Chargers.
Woke up, took the kids to school, and as I'm walking out the door, my wife's like, "You're gonna want to get changed because you got a massage at 8:30." And I'm like, "Babe, I just want to come home and jump in the bed with you and just like watch some TV and relax." She's like, "Are you serious?"
Show.
I'm like, "Okay, I'll go take the massage and then I'll come back and jump in the bed and we'll just hang out and watch some TV." And that's exactly what it was. And then you know, and I just think, you know, the party tonight is gonna be great. It's going to be fun. You got 10 or 12 of my, you know, good close friends are going to come. We're going to play some poker, have some drinks, watch the tube, play pool, foosball, shoot the you know what, and just hang.
I'm not good at foosball. Never been good at foosball.
Thank God.
Why?
I'm getting better.
You're
now
happy
that I have a
why?
Table.
You're happy I'm not good at something, Gibbs?
Yes. or that you think you're not good at something.
Are you good at foosball, Gibbs?
I'm very self-aware, Gibbs. I'm not good at foosball.
I don't know if I'm necessarily good at any of that stuff, but I enjoy
playing. I can get hot in pool, but overall, I would not consider myself a good pool player.
What are our snacks for tonight?
We're going to order some Hooli Hunks from Hooli House.
Yes.
So
I don't
basically,
even know.
It's basically,
know what it is.
It's like boneless wings.
Okay.
In multiple sauces.
Okay. Okay.
But so much better.
Yes, so much better, healthier.
Okay.
So
good.
Nathan, that's up
Ooh,
your alley.
I like it.
We're gonna do some pizza. Of course, we're gonna do pizza.
What's your pizza place?
I don't know. We're determining where that's gonna be, right now.
How about Brown sponsor the Papa?
The Papa. I have a Papa Rewards free pizza.
Yeah, you do.
On my app. I absolutely do. Then I think it's just gonna be some sides, maybe a veggie tray, fruit tray. You know, of course, chips. My wife's gonna make in this banging dish that I actually asked her to make. It's like a crock pot like dip for Tostitos. It's like cheese and like, you know, like a hot sausage, like, you know, brown.
The sausage.
Yeah, it's gonna be fantabulous.
Oh man,
this is, I like this.
I like it too. Is this gonna be the first time that
it's just gonna be hanging,
me,
man.
You, Gibbs, and the kid have all been in the same room?
Yes.
You've never been out here when the kid was here for a show, right, Gibbs?
I have not.
Oh man, historic.
And it's a Tuesday night.
Gibbs, is your beard down to your belt yet?
No. I actually had to trim it up, man.
What?
No, it's good. It's still there.
I'll be the judge.
All is well, but periodically you just got to bring it back in a little bit because then I get hairs starting to grow out different directions, and it's not all
uniform. I got a couple colics in my neck that I got to, you know, tame down every
once
in a while.
Is it itchy?
No. You know
what?
You
got through it.
You got through the itchy phase.
You got to.
Yeah. Got
all in all, no
phase.
Birthday wishes, but
None,
ultimately
so yeah.
just a nice, smooth, easy day, no stress-free day, which okay. I, so far, so good.
Yeah. Browns are going to release Manziel. It's
right.
A gift that keeps on giving.
I just want to get home without getting a ticket for anything, you know, get
I
in my door.
I can see you getting on a plane and going down, playing Augusta in the morning, coming back, having a massage, some prime rib.
Whose fantasy is this? Is this Segura's or Wilhelm?
I can do that.
Who wouldn't like that, Gibbs? Are you kidding?
I'm just saying.
And see, for me, this when we get back to the whole pool, foosball,
yeah,
like poker, which we'll be playing tonight.
I'm terrible
golf.
At poker. I have no poker face.
You know, that's fine. All right.
Yeah, I might go all in on the first day.
I might do.
There's multiple. Let's go. Okay, I'll set the rules. There's unlimited buy-ins in the first hour, Gibbs, so you're all good.
Great.
I'm not taking. We'll take your donation. But for me, like, I get better when I play it a lot. Like golf, I love the game of golf. I love the game of golf most when I'm playing it at least, you know, weekly or 3-4 times a month, because then I can actually like see myself get better. Like playing out in San Francisco with the Niners, when I was out there, literally commuting from San Diego to see my wife and kids, flying into San Jose to work out and flying back every weekend. I'd be there with my stick, so I'd get a workout done by 10 o'clock, and I'd be in the course by like 11:30, and I'd play, you know, 27 holes at 5 o'clock, go eat dinner by myself, go shopping, you know, go to bed.
The old 27.
Yeah.
I like that.
36 too much.
36 is too much.
I get burnt out, man.
I totally agree.
I pick my favorite nine of the same same course and just jump in.
Just get back
I go solo. See, for me, when I play solo, I like playing solo. I hit multiple shots. It's when I get really good. And then if I'm playing behind someone, like I don't ask to play through. I'll just go around them, you know, and skip. And I just skip around the. I just skip around the course.
Pardonnez moi.
Yeah, I just go. See ya.
Have some good etiquette. I agree. See ya. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, 216-578-0850. We got some sound to play for you as well, but we want to hear your thoughts on the handling, the statement from Sashi Brown about Johnny Manziel, and it seems like his time is coming to an end here with the Cleveland Football Browns. At least that's what's being reported. Zagur and Wilhelm, Gibbs as well, Cleveland Browns Daily.
Don't get me started, love. I've had too much to drink.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Zagura and Wilhelm. We'll go back to the phones. Matt in Lorraine, welcome to the show.
Hey, Matt.
Yes. Dad. Hey, Dad, how are you?
Good. I just called. I don't have a question because, you know, everything you know, you learned from me about football. But I just wanted to call and tell you happy birthday and hope you have many, many more.
Oh, thank you, Dad. I appreciate it.
All right, awesome. I'll see you tomorrow night, buddy.
All right, good deal.
I love it.
I thought you said no.
What?
He just called during the break.
No, I'm just kidding. No.
What are you guys doing tomorrow night? What's the family birthday celebration?
Just, well, you know, have my mom and dad get an opportunity. They always want to take me out to dinner and give me a car. I don't know. Maybe Outback's or somewhere. They pick it.
That's what whenever it's my birthday, I'm going somewhere my parents pick out. It begins with O. Whether it's Outback, Olive Garden, any one of them. I'm just like,
I'm fine with all those.
I'm good.
Yes.
Let's go.
I'm easy. I like those. I mean, the Roadhouses and Outbacks of the world.
Let me tell you something.
What?
Outback, if you're just have a hankering for a prime rib, Outback's got a nice prime rib.
Does it? I'm not a prime rib fan.
Oh, my God, the king of all the meats. Gibbs smoked 30 pounds of it for Christmas, if I'm
not
mistaken.
Was it good, by the way?
It was good. Very good flavor. And it wasn't on the inside. It was still had some pinkness to it.
Correct. Not as much as I would have liked.
But that, you know, you live, you learn.
Exactly.
Dakota Lannis Morissette.
I like that song.
It's solid. All right, let's go back to the phones, Wilhelm. Who we got next?
We have Frank in Rochester.
Franklin. What's up, Frank?
Actually, we'll go Tony
first. This isn't Frank. This is Tony. How you guys
doing? Tony, what's up, man?
Sorry,
Tony.
My bad. I hit the wrong button.
All right, man, the three of you guys are hilarious, man. You guys ought to give your boy Gibbs a little more airtime, man.
We try. Whenever we go to Gibbs, he's always like... You don't hear it. He says,
we should do a radio show together.
Yeah,
we should. Get the three of you guys going, man. You guys are hilarious. But I wanted to make a couple comments, I guess. One, the issue with Johnny Manziel. I believe that the Cleveland Browns gave the young man every opportunity in the world. And unfortunately, you know, they got to do what they got to do. Having said that, you know, it's pretty obvious that he's got, in my opinion, he's got an alcohol and drug problem. There's no doubt in my mind, speaking from you know, past experience of being a recovering addict, he's got all the signs. If they were to sequester him right now or bring him in and give him a test, there is no doubt in my mind he would fail every drug test imaginable. I hope he gets his life together. Unfortunately, you know, young people that are able to have a lot of money and not burn through it and still have that addiction most of the time, man, it ends really, really bad. I hope it doesn't. I hope, you know, somewhere or another, you know, he finds, you know, to realize that he's got to, you know, help himself and get out of this hole, because it will continue to suck him in, you know, and I hope he realizes that. But moving forward, you know, I think if the Browns, they have, what, three picks, right? They have one, 32 and 34, is that right?
The Browns?
Yeah.
They have 2 and 32.
2 and 32. Okay. They don't. Well, what do they have in the second round? Are they the
32? 32 is the pick in the second round.
Got it. Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm hoping, man, I'd hope they draft a quarterback and a wide receiver and then come back with a linebacker. I think those are the three, you know, top needs. But, you know, it's real unfortunate with the young man, but, you know, they got to move forward, man. So you guys have a good evening.
You as well. Thank you so much for the call.
Let's go back to the phone. Now we'll go Frank in Rochester.
Frank.
Hey, Nathan. Hi, Matt. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you very much, man. Appreciate it.
Hey, and I agree with you with one thing. I'd take a fat porterhouse over prime rib any day.
I'm not afraid of a good porterhouse, a good ribeye.
I'm a bone and ribeye
guy. I love some prime. It is the king of all the meats.
Hey, a couple questions for you as far as Manziel goes. Now, with all this incidents that are going on, it isn't pretty obvious that he will get some type of suspension from the NFL no matter what.
That I don't know because it's obviously being investigated.
Well,
what they find in that investigation.
If you're getting chased by a helicopter, man, something's going on, dude.
Yes. And I don't necessarily. But here's the thing about the helicopter, and I'm not taking one side or the other. I don't necessarily know if A, that they were looking for Johnny Manziel because of the assault report, or the fact that his, as it was reported, ex-girlfriend said she didn't know where he was, he couldn't be contacted, and they're essentially scared for his life.
I don't think they'd send a helicopter, though, if they're just worried about somebody.
True. Those are tax dollars flying around.
We'll see. It's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. There could be discipline from the NFL, and that could impact his ability to land somewhere else if somebody is still willing to take that plunge at this point.
If Roger wants to grant my second wish on my birthday, that'd be perfect.
Roger the Dodger.
Investigation. We've come to a
conclusion. What else? Yeah, I know we got one more guy on the horn.
One more. Who we got left, Gibbs?
We go Ed and Akron.
Ed and Akron.
Ed.
Hey, kudos, man. I don't know where to start. Kudos for birthday. Kudos for a helicopter that Frankie should be flying around the KNR and over Sashi's house. Finally have come to a conclusion, and you know what? Maybe it took analytics, huh? it's hard to say what it has taken, but caller before last there talked about the addiction and all that. That's a done subject. But he does need extra help, and yeah, hopefully he'll get it. But thank goodness for Sashi, and the Browns don't need that anymore. They just need nothing but positive efforts going forward, and I think they've burned a lot of candles and a lot of fire over Manziel, and let's hope that Sashi sticks to the guns and goes ahead and follows it up, because it sets an image for everybody else on the team too, not just him. And they start saying if he can get away with this misbehaving and playing on weekends or playing during the week, whatever, then why can't we?
Right.
So let's hope Sashi's put an end to it. Once again, kudos to all of you. Birthday kudos again.
Thank you.
Hey, there's nothing quite like a prime rib with a big pink center.
Yeah, you're darn right.
Thank you very much for the call. And you know what? He kind of brought a great point. And I don't necessarily know how, I know how this regime will sit around the table and everyone will have a voice in regards to, the draft and free agency and probably about these players currently on this roster. But I would hope that while Johnny would come in, the one thing that I wouldn't want him to do is because, as you said, Johnny is a smooth talker. Talks his way into chances, into extra opportunities, and out of certain situations that I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy and Sashi and Jimmy, Sashi, and Hugh in one room, that's the brass of this organization, for many years to come in front of Johnny. There's no way that he could talk himself out of those three intelligent men, because now more than ever do I feel like they're collectively on the right path. They're collaborating
on the same page
and on the same page moving forward, that he's not going to catch the ear of not one of those three men.
No, I think that you're exactly right. And I think that's what this was all about, organizational alignment. And now they're making, we haven't seen it actual come to fruition, but it sounds like they certainly have laid down, the gauntlet for what's going to happen with Johnny Manziel.
Absolutely. Let's take another call. John in Dover. What's up, John?
Hey, hi.
How are you?
Hey, good. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
This is more pertains with, well, it's the whole Manziel thing, but pertains to the inner workings of an NFL team. It seems as if the NFL's perception is they do orientation for rookies, and they go to great lengths to have resources available for players. I'm blaming all this on Manziel. I'm not someone, that I know it's his fault, but you would think there'd be something in line with the medical staff that had to have known this addiction issue and should have intervened. I'm blaming the medical staff a bit for this too, because it let this go on way too long.
Well, I think you also think people can change. I don't know if it's easy to just go in and say that somebody's got a problem when they're as good of a talker, but ultimately I think this is something they'll look back on and reevaluate what they did. Remember, one of the things Paul DePodesta is here to do is to identify the inefficiencies in their overall processes, and I think that that one and the way that really they didn't know truly about Justin Gilbert, I think that those were huge inefficiencies that have come back to bite them that will be eliminated under this regime. That certainly is the goal, and I think that is certainly the plan going forward. All right, when we come back, final thoughts here. Last chance to get your calls in, 216-578-0850 on the birthday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Make yourself at my home, tell me where you've been. Pour yourself something cold, baby, cheers to this. Sometimes you gotta stay in, and you know where I live. Yeah, you know what we is. Sometimes you gotta stay in. Welcome to my house, baby.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
A strong contender right there, Wilhelm.
It is a strong contender. Give us your feedback, Twitter.
I like it.
You like it, Gibbs?
You like it, Gibbs?
I do.
Okay.
I do, too.
I don't know where to start it, though.
Yeah, we'll figure that. We'll trim it right properly.
I think start it like...
We'll have to listen to it and go,
like,
right?
Maybe like 8 seconds after you start it when it goes, because you know what we love. That part, where it's like the four things in a row.
Where,
that
it, where again?
You know what we love. All right,
that's what I thought you said.
Is that what he's going to sound like at 11 o'clock tonight? Do we have...
I'm gonna win.
Do you have plenty of tequila?
I do. I have some 1942 Don
Julio. Oh my,
sipping tequila
might be my favorite.
Not chugging tequila.
No, it's got a little bit of a vanilla flavor.
It does
to
have
it.
A vanilla. It was a gift from a friend of mine.
Jalapenos.
Does he have any fresh jalapenos? Is that what you said?
Yes.
No jalapenos enter my house.
What?
Because then the toilets get blown out.
I'm bringing a whole bag.
No, you get the jalapeno.
Tonight,
you can have the jalapeno if we order Papa John's. There you go.
No, you put the jalapeno. That's a pepperoncini. You slice the jalapeno and you put it in
your
sipping
tequila.
This goes to
show how much spice I don't like.
Wow.
No spice.
Bring in the jalapenos.
I did have the Sweet Heat Hooli Hunks the other day.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to order some of those tonight. They were good. They were just enough heat and just enough sweet.
I'll tell you, I was, you know, I love spicy. So when I get sushi.
Yeah.
Gibbs, you ever do this? I put habanero sauce into my soy sauce, stir it around, and then so every dip has a little bit of the business.
Sometimes. I've done that before.
Nah. So it's like barbecue, medium, sweet heat. You want hot?
I would be on. Well, I don't like buffalo wing hot is a different hot to me.
It would be buffalo.
I don't enjoy that flavor. I like habanero. I like jalapeno. I like chipotle. I'm a Tex-Mex spice fan.
From California.
Well, hence, there you go. There you go. Okay, you guys ready for a joke from Adam Schwartz?
Let's go.
You ready?
Is it a birthday
Have
joke?
You seen it, Gibbs? Did you see it yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Question is, this should be on like one of my kids. Like, you know when they get the bomb pops and it has like a corny joke on it?
Yes.
This is one of those. Are you ready?
Okay.
What's a nosy pepper?
I have no idea.
A pepper that's jalapeno business. Jalapeno business. That's what he's trying to say.
It's terrible. I like it, though.
Pepper that's jalapeno business.
Jalapeno business.
Jalapeno business.
Why don't you jalap out my business?
How about I read some tweets about today?
Let's go.
G.I. George, good friend from Behind Enemy Lines. I'm sorry, guys. I can't be, quote, happy about human tragedies. Beyond football, I hope Johnny Manziel gets some help. I think... You know, that's the one underlying thing we all want to see him get better in some way, shape, or form. Darth Vader. As much as the Browns want to blame Johnny, recall it was the Browns who picked him, not vice versa. Hashtag epic fail.
It's again, when I say this, it is obviously it will be looked back on as a failure by the organization. And some of that falls just on the kid. And some of that falls on the organization. And yes, I think everybody will look back at this as being a failure.
Carol Janes, I'm glad they finally took a stand. As soon as they cut him, there will be celebrations in Cleveland. I don't know if there'll be celebrations, but I think everybody just catching their breath and just going, okay, now we can move on as an organization and as a franchise.
I think that that's important. I think it is kind of a closing of one door and opening another into the
Yeah, world I just order. Think, you know what, to me, what it is personally is an opportunity to take any conversation, good or bad, and how it consumes people, how it consumes this building, out of our conversation. It's an after. He's an afterthought. The moment we terminate him or we trade him, he is no longer good, bad, or indifferent. Something we need to discuss here, and we can focus on moving forward. Focus on Josh McCown, Austin Davis, a draft pick potentially at the quarterback position. Focus on all those things. Why waste the conversation on something that's
about this team going forward and becoming successful in the NFL, not about what's holding them back or distractions or anything like that. Yes, you're exactly right, and I think that'll be a good thing.
The Real MD tweets at the show, team needs to make good with fans and offer refunds or exchanges on his jersey. Sorry, buddy. You made that decision.
That I don't agree with. It's not like they drafted him, had you buy jerseys, and then traded him right away. They did everything they could, and I think you could certainly make the case they gave him too many chances to prove that he can be here and fit in with the Browns and be a part of this organization. So, yeah, I don't think that's not on the organization. If you want somebody to do a make good, ask Johnny.
Amen to that. Mark Bishop tweets at the show, shut up, Hiram. Going back to our first call today, Hiram.
Uh-huh.
18 off-the-field incidents since he was drafted.
Is that right?
I don't know. But I'm definitely interested in going back. I started to go back, and then I got distracted with a few things back here. But I want to know if 18 is actually the real number.
That's not a small number.
That's a large number.
What does that include, like, the posts of the videos and such?
I got to think that's the case.
I would think so.
I mean, that's almost that's a full season. That's like one a week.
Like one a week. Do we still have John in Dover, or are we done with him?
Yes. No, we're
my
done.
My phone
with
just
him.
Came back online. My screen was cracked. My phone.
What the
was
heck
done.
Is going on back there today with your phone?
It was done. I had to turn it in to get a new screen on it. It suffered a Disney wound, and today was the make good day. But
Disney wound.
It was causing some problems.
At a little bit more expense, Disney did to your pocketbook.
Overrated, overpriced.
Always.
If you have your
kids, it is not overrated.
If you have kids in your wheelhouse, wheelhouse age,
better.
There is no better place to go than Disney.
My kids called it the best days of their lives. So,
how
can you put a price on that?
That you got to spend those best days with them.
Yes, it was. It was a glorious thing. Well, that'll do it. By the way, G.I. George says that song is perfect for you guys. Well-suited for CBD, welcoming, fun, hashtag two thumbs up.
Yeah, I just had a thought maybe next year, if this poker party becomes, you know, a tradition maybe to celebrate my birthday, maybe we'll have like some type of competition that one of our faithful listeners can participate in the poker
get
tournament.
An invite. They can
You're going to let Stan and Brooklyn come to your place, huh?
You have to, I mean, come on.
I think Stan's an early favorite.
I think we can.
Stan, I'll invite you.
I will rig it. To find the winner that that deserves to walk in my house.
I love it. What about Scotty Buckeye?
Scotty Buckeye, as long as I can wear my earplugs. Because I can take Buckeye talk for about max 10 to 15 minutes, and after that, you're going to be able to carry on an adult conversation.
I don't know
if
Scotty Buckeye can get away.
There's going to be plenty of Buckeye
especially
stuff everywhere.
Especially because your birthday's like right around signing
and
day.
And I'm going to have to – no not, phones for him either.
No phones.
Because no pictures of all the stuff in my basement.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. He might leave your – when he left your basement, I bet he's going to need a seeing eye, Doug. He's going to be blind.
Correct.
He's going to blind himself.
He's going to steal my bobblehead.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for us. Stay tuned for the Golden Boys. Thanks to Sir Andrew Gribble. Thanks to McMixon. Thanks to the glorious Gibbs. For Matt Wilhelm, I'm Nathan Zegura saying thanks for listening to Cleveland Browns Daily.
On ESPN 850 WKNR.
Oh, yeah.
You've been listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, a production of the Cleveland Browns and ESPN 850 WKNR.